He always seems to get involved, doesn't he?
I'm telling you, too many coconuts have hit him right on top of the skull.
Well, I think Anthony will be a great acquisition. He can do it all.
Avery, whose show is this? And we're live. Welcome, everybody, here to the Lakers Lounge. I'm Anthony Irwin, today joined by Harrison Fagan, he of SB Nation. He formerly the editor-in-chief and lead dictator of Silver Screen and Roll. That position is now held by Jacob Rude. I do want to take a quick second to say how proud I am of Jacob. We came up in this industry together. He is an insanely hard worker. Weirdly into Jalen Hood-Schifino, you know, little defensive of him in the Slack or whatever. But other than that, a great person. And I'm really happy the cool things are coming up for that guy. And Harrison, I wanted to take a quick second here because, you know, you and I came up doing the whole Silver Screen thing. How weird was it to finally say, I'll be back in 15 minutes?
Well, you know, I mean, on that note, Anthony, I just want to say I'm really glad that you took the time to congratulate Jacob about 2 weeks after his position was announced. You know, I think
we haven't recorded, and I wanted to save it because I wanted to talk to you specifically about that position.
I actually was going to tease this news when we recorded our last show with Pete, and then you just sort of cut us off at the end. And I was like, all right, whatever. You don't want my free Harrison Fagan's future is up in the air download clicks. All right, that's fine. Yeah, I don't know. I certainly hope that it is. It has been longer than 15 minutes since I relinquished the reins. I'm hoping it continues to go on like that for quite a while longer. But we'll see. Sabrina has scarred me forever, and so I will always worry that at some point I will be roped back in.
Do you think there's like a Sabrina Merchant Laker or Silver Screen and Roll jersey in the same way that there are like Melo Hawks jerseys?
Yeah, like Melo Bulls, that's sort of, you know, that was like her level, you know?
Yeah. but yeah, no, congratulations to Jacob. And it did take us 2 weeks to get to it because I wanted to specifically talk to you about it and that you discuss it a little bit. And now we'll move on.
No, congrats, Jacob. 2 weeks later, congrats. you've been doing a great job for all of those 2 weeks.
It does feel a little like passive aggressive, like, congrats, Jacob. Enjoy this 500 Lakers team start to the season. Congrats,
yeah, you know, buddy. I will say there have been multiple times where I've been pretty glad that I'm not blogging about this team on a day-to-day basis. I just have to come on here, you know, talk with you every couple weeks. But you know, I can tweet out my thoughts and stuff like that, but I don't have to give serious thought on a day-to-day basis about whether or not it's good that LeBron passed Cam Reddish on the final possession, you know. This is not like a debate I have to engage in on a daily basis anymore.
What you do have to engage in today, though, is the definitive Anthony Davis conversation. We're doing it again. For some reason, people keep on talking about him. It keeps on coming up. We keep on getting stupid narrative after stupid narrative about Anthony Davis. We keep on having lazy
mostly
analysis.
From you.
Sure. we just keep on it, that well will never run dry. That cup runneth over as far as the analysis on Anthony Davis. And so today, Harrison, you and I are going to be spending a little bit of time or quite a bit of time. I don't know. We'll see. I don't know how long I have you for. So we'll just see how long this thing goes. And then after the definitive conversation about Anthony Davis, we are going to unveil and introduce a brand new bi-weekly, say, well, every other week. Bi-weekly is kind of weird in that way, right? Like bi-weekly can mean twice a week, but I've heard,
you know, to be honest, I get those mixed up all the time. What bi-monthly or bi-week? Yeah. Again, I'm someone who edits for a living. And
so every other week,
every single time
when Harrison does these shows on Tuesday, we are going to be doing our power rankings, and I'm not going to spoil it. I'm not going to, we'll get to that moment when we get to it, but I guarantee you, you will never hear power rankings about the NBA like these ones. So tune in later for that. But yeah, let's talk about Anthony Davis. And, you know, this season so far, I think he, right now, as it stands, he is the odds-on favorite to be Defensive Player of the Year. And, you know, it's very early or whatever, but he's doing insane things on that side of the court still. That I don't think is really going to change. There are some takes about his defense that, you know, want to dig in a little deeper into who he succeeds against and kind of pads defensive impact stats against and who he kind of struggles against. I saw that was a conversation.
Pads that defensive went down. Impact stats is a new one. I'm not sure that I've heard that one before.
So there's that. I know heading into the season, Darvin Ham was really interested in Anthony Davis shooting threes. That lasted just slightly longer than the LeBron James minutes discussion. So
I was going to say, Anthony, we know he wanted AD to target six threes. Do you know offhand how many threes a game attempts a game Anthony Davis is averaging?
Has he attempted six total this season?
It's one. It's exactly one.
So
the Lakers have played seven games. Great. So he's taken more than six total.
Well, that's good. That's good.
Yeah. He's taken seven so far for the year. So
yeah, the free throws have kind of come and gone. He had a tough game against Jokic that very first one, but then went on a bit of a tear and then last night had groin spasms. Ooh, I also meant to ask you about that. Did you get that? Like, because I know you had some groin things for a long time. Did your groin ever spasm?
No, I cannot. But this is the rare case where a player has had an injury that I have not personally suffered. And so I can't really speak to that. I will say that does not sound pleasant.
No.
And it didn't look pleasant. He looked to be extremely limited out there. And then that was the weirdest thing I've ever... That was like a distillation of every complaint that people have about AD's ability, about like, oh, he's going to hit the deck and you don't know if he's going to get back up or, you know, all of that stuff. And that was literally timeout to timeout and like stoppage to stoppage. There were cliffhangers at the end of these commercial breaks. It was like watching a soap opera where you don't know what's going to happen when you come back from a commercial break. They're like, well, they took a timeout. AD's walking to the bench and then, oh no, he's back in. He's back in when we came back. It was a real drinking game of like, will Anthony Davis be on the court when the Lakers come back from this timeout? And it was like a 50-50 chance if you tuned in around, you know, like the second quarter and then all the way through, I think like most of the third before they finally mothballed him for the rest of the night.
Did you ever, you're younger than me, but you're also a comic books nerd, but do you remember like actual teasers going to cartoon, like cartoon breaks, you know, when they was like, when we come back, because they would be like a, you know, the term cliffhanger came from somebody hanging onto a cliff, right? But it was like, when we come back, will Batman figure this one out, you know? And then when we come back from the break, will Anthony Davis be on the court? Who knows? Like, and I don't know. I said it on the lowdown last night that I thought that did kind of a disservice to the rest of the team. They scored 20 points in the third quarter. And I think a part of it, again, not blaming Anthony Davis specifically here, but they scored 20 points in the third quarter, and I thought it had a lot to do with he's out there, he's not out there. He's out there, he's not out there. He's giving it a go. He lasted two possessions.
No, I mean, I'm sure on some level they're all doing the same thing we are of like, is he okay? Is he like, should he be out here? I don't know. You know, he's not moving all that well. And then, you know, I mean, beyond the stuff, it just sort of messes up your offense having a guy that it keeps staying in the backcourt, you know, after you get a turnover or a stop or whatever. And it's just like, you know, again, respect to him for trying to gut it out, but he was clearly not going to be able to help the team last night. I am sort of shocked that we're getting, you know, again, as someone who knows very little about this injury or what the normal recovery prognosis is or for it or whatever, but after how he looked last night, that they're just like, yeah, he's probably going to play on Wednesday.
Well, and this is the thing, and this is honestly why I wanted to have the definitive conversation about Anthony Davis today, right? Was I thought last night was a direct result of how often people give him shit over injuries, right?
Yeah.
Like I thought last night and him fighting through it and trying to make it through it on the seventh game of the season or the sixth game, whatever it was. And you have, you have, what is it, 75 more games after after that one before you even get to the playoffs, and not including a potential midseason tournament thing that they might have to play in, where that
or
might
play in depending game. On how the season goes.
All of this, like, you have upwards of like 80 games left, hopefully this season, maybe even more. And there he is, like, fighting to come back and fighting to stay out there and fighting to play through. I had back spasms, and my whole back would seize up. My whole lower back would just, and it's not like a cramp where you almost kind of like laugh when you're cramping up, you know, like you just kind of like, it's kind of a funny feeling. It's very muscular. No, when you have a spasm, your whole body is like, like, just picture like an air brake on a semi truck, right? Where you are trying to stop this, you know, your body is essentially trying to stop that movement at all costs and essentially shutting down that whole portion of your body. And now picture that around your nuts in that area. Like, that would be terrible. That would be an awful, awful feeling. And he's like, no, I promise I can go. You know, like, yeah, it's just like, I was in shock, and Jen was watching the game next to me last night. And again, I said this on the lowdown last night too, but Jen is like, wait, why is Anthony Davis walking like that? Wait, why is he coming back into the game? And I'm like, they're saying he has groin spasms. And she's like, oh God. And for Jen to be like,
yeah,
for that reaction out of Jen, I'm like, they probably shouldn't be out there, right? She's like, no.
Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of online social games like blackjack, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. TNCs apply.
Yeah,
obviously. I mean, not
just as someone, you know, as someone who owns a groin, I will say that does not sound pleasant to me, you know. And the whole AD, he just didn't look like he could move. And I actually I don't know if this is something to be proud of, but I sort of called the injury before he even sort of came up. Like, when Kyle Lowry got by him and finished a layup or like around him, I was like, is AD okay? Why did he, what was that contest on that Lowry drive? Like, how did he get past him? And then immediately he starts grabbing his hip. And so, and it's like, oh, okay, so he's hurt. Great. You know, and it was
non-contact,
that was
sort of
your first time that it's just like, yeah, if he can't contest Kyle Lowry at the rim and like swat his shot, then he probably shouldn't be out there. And, you know, who knows if they tried to give him a shot or they tried to do something in the back or whatever and thought that he could sort of get through it or anything like that. But yeah, it just not a fun game to watch, because that the whole time too, you know, speaking to your point about the Lakers guys, there's also that anvil sort of over everyone of like, you know, if he could hurt this worse. You know, or what if he hurt something else worse trying to play through this? And then the season's just over, potentially.
Yeah, I'm not always. This is one of those subjects in covering sports that are always going to be rife with issues, right? And in this case, like, when you're talking about injuries and injury management and injury information management, you know, all of that stuff, you're just never going to have the whole story.
Yeah.
That, I mean,
the
said, story
that we have was that it did not look like he could move.
Right. Right. Well, right. And what I mean by like not having the whole story is like, you don't know how much he's pushing to go back out there. You don't know what the doctors are feeling about it. You and I are not doctors, so we don't know like what extra damage could have been done in those minutes while he was trying to play through this thing. And like that, the same can be said about a lot of the stuff that the Lakers, Harrison, we're seven games into the season and we've already had Jared Vanderbilt be day to day for all of preseason. He hasn't played almost 2 weeks into the season so far. Mm-hmm. We have Rui Hachimura get an eye contusion that is apparently now a concussion, and we don't know when that escalated. If it was an escalation, like what happened, how he contused his eye.
My guess is that that is not an escalation. I mean, it makes intuitive sense, right? If you get an eye, if you get hit hard enough to get an eye contusion, potentially there are brain ramifications to that. You know, it's all in the same area. And so, you know, I would assume that they were like, hey, he has an eye contusion. And then, you know, the next day, I believe Darvin actually explained this in an availability where he was just sort of like, he's like, yeah, like he's sensitive to light. And, you know, all this stuff, like basically described the symptoms of a concussion when asked about the eye contusion. And then immediately he was put into concussion protocol. You know, I mean, and then the NBA has very specific requirements for that, where there's like benchmarks that you have to clear to be able to come back. And so now, you know, there's only so much of a timeline the Lakers can give on that, because it, for real, like you don't know how he's going to respond the next day to the next sort of increase type of thing.
Especially when like the concussion's starting point is around the eyes. I feel like that's even more like you're going to be even more sensitive to certain things that are going to show up in the tests that you take in the concussion protocol. I'm not like criticizing them for being careful now that he's in the concussion protocol. It's been so long of this, Harrison. Like you and I have been doing this for now, how long with the Lakers, you know? And it, I think it's gotten worse in the LeBron AD era, the clutch era, because clutch is also very secretive when it comes to injury information as well. I thought at some point with like how much gambling needs this kind of information, and given the partnerships that the league has made with gambling affiliates and stuff, that we would get a little bit more transparency here. And you know, it's not even a matter of like, I think teams
now will tell you what body part is injured every single time and that kind of stuff. You know, we have gotten more transparency than we used to always get, but
I guess, you know, but I just don't think it's the same conversation you and I have had for I don't know how many times now, but I just don't think the Lakers are doing the players any service here with this lack of transparency. You know, hey, Rui got elbowed in the eye. He's out a while because he has a concussion, and we're trying to figure out if he's going to be able to go in a week or two. Okay, I'll talk to you in a week or two. Jared Vanderbilt has bursitis on his heel. I've dealt with that. Like, that is really painful. You can't move your whole foot. You know, it's hard to put weight on that region of your foot. And yeah, if they would have said right from the get that he had bursitis in his heel, I'd have been like, oh, okay, well, you have to let the swelling subside. You have to figure out where the swelling came from, what caused it in the first place. And then you have to go about like trying to make sure that doesn't happen again. That's going to take a little while. All right. You know, last night we all saw Anthony Davis, one of the most athletic players we have ever seen at his position ever. He's a pterodactyl out there, and Kyle Lowry's dribbling circles around him. He clearly isn't okay. And then it's like, all right, AD goes back to the locker room. We'll see how he looks after halftime. I don't really get why. And then, you know, he comes out of the game. All right, you did it once. You saw if he could like get through it one time. You tried it. He wasn't able to. He's not out. He's probably not going. We're not going to see him again for the rest of the game. Nope. We're going to try it again.
And I think we all thought that. And then they're like, and then someone said on the broadcast, they're like, an AD just walked up to the scorer's table. I was like, what? Why?
Right. He was like, he got wrapped, and now he's walking back into. I was like, what?
Yeah.
Who's making what decisions here?
Like, I mean, to me, the way that last night played out screamed to me that AD wanted to keep giving it a go and see if he could play and see if he could, you know, if they could, you know, again, we don't know what treatments they tried in between sort of the different stoppages and stuff, but it did seem like he was sort of, you know, hey, give me X, Y, or Z. Let's see if that'll work and if I can get back out there. But, you know, it was just clear in the end that the answer was just going to be no, sort of no matter what they tried.
And again, like
I cannot possibly imagine that the Lakers medical staff in 2023 was like, no, you're fine. Get back out there with the way that he was moving. You know, like that just doesn't seem like that doesn't seem like a medical team decision to send him out like the third or fourth time, you know.
And this isn't by the way, what we saw early in the season and throughout the season to this point with LeBron and his minutes thing, right? Where Darvin's like, you're going to play 29 to 30 minutes. And LeBron's like, fuck you.
Yeah.
The hell I will.
LeBron's like, all right, good luck with that.
And then like, and then Darvin's like, oh, LeBron's playing more, you know?
Yeah.
It's like, I will monitor LeBron's minutes. Like, yes, you will in fact watch him play in those minutes. Darvin.
The stat sheet after every game. He's like, well, those more minutes than we wanted.
You know, this isn't that though. This isn't, you know, minutes and rest. Like, clearly this is a debate going on within league circles where like the Players Association and the league.
Now,
is-
Anthony, hold on. Joe Dumars, he did a study and load management doesn't work. Okay.
Yeah.
I don't need to know his sources. He looked into this. Okay.
Yeah.
Load management has no benefit to players.
But like the minutes thing and rest and load management, like
worse, I believe is the latest study coming in. I think playing in the in-season tournament is actually the healthiest thing you can do for your body is what the early numbers are saying. And then after that, it's, you know, it's playing in back-to-backs. And then like third is load management. So really, you know, again, the science just backs this up.
Do you think Joe Dumars would just drain all back-to-tanks? Like in Star Wars, like he just like walk in room. This doesn't work, you guys. Darth Vader's
like
in the back.
For frauds and just.
I swear it does.
Yeah.
I was a stump, and now I'm like still the most powerful force wielder in the universe.
Yeah, no. But he would have recovered more quickly if he had played an in-season tournament game. So the healing properties of the in-season tournament court cannot be overstated.
Yeah. And so, like,
that's why they're so colorful. It's all the healing energy that's radiating off of them to heal the players.
That finally explains it.
Yeah.
That's going to come up in the power rankings, by the way.
Yeah. Mine too.
So,
we're preparing for this bit.
But like the reason I bring up the LeBron thing is that like minutes, rest, all that stuff, it's an imperfect science. You know, it's not really a science, but. Medicine is a science. You go to medical school, you do a whole bunch of training to help these like we're reaching a point where like Anthony Davis, when it's all said and done, is going to have earned close to $500 million in his career.
Sounds right. Yeah.
You know, like these guys are worth a whole bunch of money and you have these teams, or in the case of last night, you have the Lakers basically like eyeball it. What do you think, AD? What are you doing?
Well, I don't want to criticize the Lakers on that, because this is something every star gets to do. If the star wants to continue playing, in 99 times out of 10, they are going to be allowed to continue playing, you know,
but I
and
also
they're going
think...
to be allowed to try and push through it. And, you know, it is their body at the end of the day.
Sure. But like, sometimes you have to protect the player from.
No, I agree. I tweeted this last night. At some point, the Lakers need to intervene here and tell AD that it's time to stop. But, you know, again, the reason I brought that up in the first place was just the way that it all played out did not, again, like scream to me that this is a medical decision being made. This is a guy trying to play through something, saying, I can go, let me give it a shot. And them saying, okay, like you have, you know, we're going to see how you look out there for a minute. And then if you don't look good, we're going to pull you back out.
Yeah, we're making the same point. Like, we both agree that, like, AD was trying to get back out into the game. And again, I think the reason AD is trying to get back into the game is because every time he goes and he grabs anything, he falls or anything like that, it launches a zillion memes and reactions to this stuff. And it's just like that's one of those things where I'm asking, like, what are we doing? Like, why do we take it upon ourselves to mock somebody's body, you know, not allowing him to do the things that make him a special NBA player, you know? And like, that's one of the things that drives me absolutely insane watching the discourse about AD. It's just like, you know, people call him soft and all that stuff. And like, you know, pain tolerance is
people,
you know,
people call him soft.
Yeah. It is what
people.
I will call him all kinds of things, but like the injury thing is not something that I go with, right? Like, for example, on playback, I said that he is getting back on defense with the same tenacity that, like, you know, when you're crossing a street and there's a car there waiting, you like fake jog to get across the street. Like, that's the thing that I'll say about him, right? That's a criticism that I'll levy against him. But, like, as it pertains to him, you know, fighting through injuries and his ability to stay on the court and all of that stuff, like, that is not a place that I'm willing to go because, A, I'm soft as shit, too. B, like, it's none of my business. We don't have enough information to decide on that stuff. And C, I don't care that he comes back in the seventh game of a season against Miami on a random Monday night. Like, that is not what he's here for. The whole purpose of having Anthony Davis is so that you can have him healthy by the end of the season so that he can wreck Golden State's world in the way that he did last year in the playoffs. So you can wreck Memphis's world in the way that he did in those playoffs last year. That's what the focus should be, not making sure that he can, like, prove some haters and doubters wrong on a Monday night in November.
Yeah, and so, I mean, the thing that I'll say is that I do think that in some cases, like empathy for players has gone too far in certain ways in terms
I'm clipping that.
No, I just mean in terms of like the trade demand stuff or like the you know when you talk about the star empowerment of like who's really being empowered here, like it's not players, it's this one guy at the top of the team who's making life hell for the other 14 guys and everyone else in the organization. You know, it's in your James Harden cases, your this and that. Like, I don't want to sit here and be lectured that like, oh man, it's bad for workers' rights that James Harden can't like demand a trade to the Clippers or whatever while he's under contract. Like, no, like that kind of stuff, like, I think goes to it. But the empathy for someone being hurt is like, that's just a basic human thing to me. And it's like, this is the point that I would make to anyone who gets upset at, you know, like AD, like not playing or being hurt. Like, I just don't get it, because do you think he wants to be hurt? Do you think he just like, he's like, you know, I just decided that today I could stop this, but today I'm going to let my groin spasm. That sounds like something that is going to be really great to deal with today. You know, it's on some level, I understand being frustrated by the situation. Yeah, it sucks that this happens, you know, more often than you would hope for throughout the course of the season, where he has these moments where, whether it's a seemingly minor injury that he's going to be able to play through after getting some treatment over the next couple days and, you know, that kind of thing, or it's, you know, one of these kind of longer multi-week injuries or whatever. This does, you know, for the last several years, it has happened multiple times a season, and it is frustrating. You know, you want your team to be good. You want the Lakers to be good. And I understand being frustrated with like AD being hurt on that front. I don't understand being frustrated with AD about it, because I'm not really sure what he's supposed to do differently. You know, if his body is just gonna break down, like, that's just a reality. And so the Lakers could decide to go in another direction and try and acquire other talent or whatever, but all talent is going to be flawed in some way. They're going to have these Achilles heels, and, you know, AD's is, you gotta hope he stays upright and healthy, you know, and that if that's sort of the price that you pay for having a player that's as good as AD to possibly be in the playoffs, like, I'm willing to sort of take that gamble. And I think it was probably the Lakers' best gamble, but it is a gamble. And these kinds of things are going to happen.
It's also like, all right, there is no perfect player. And I guess the closest thing that you can come to it is a guy who happens to be on the team, right? In LeBron,
Andre
over
Drummond.
The course of his career. He left. He left a long time
still
ago.
Still a Laker in my heart, Anthony.
Like, Andre Drummond's great flaw, right? Like, he's a talented NBA player. Like, he was a high draft pick, made a bunch of money and all that stuff. He just doesn't have calf muscles, you know? And like, if I had to choose flaws, I would rather have AD who does have calf muscles that work really well. And like, the thing that I feel like gets lost in this conversation about AD far too often is like, you have this guy who is doing insane things defensively. You know, like, he pushes his body. I've said this multiple times on various shows, right? I think AD is asking more of his body than just about any other player in the NBA right now. And you could honestly make that argument,
especially at his size.
Yeah, no, you can make that argument across sports if you're taking size into account, right? Because basketball has bigger guys than everybody else. And like, the fact that people would get frustrated that this guy who is literally pushing the limits of the human body,
yeah,
his body would occasionally break down sometimes. It's like, what?
you know? Like, that's like, the thing.
This isn't Raymond Felton, like, you know, occasionally shooting a layup every so often, you know, like this isn't D'Angelo Russell putting people in jail every play because he can't get actual separation from guys without doing that. This is Anthony Davis. At one point last night, I think this was like just before he actually got hurt, but at one point last night, he stopped somebody from taking a floater at the free throw line. I think it was Hero. He like stopped him from attempting a shot there. The pass goes inside to Bam, who then pump fakes because AD went from challenging a shot at the free throw line, showing to challenge a shot at the free throw line, to then dissuading somebody on the baseline, a really athletic Bam Adebayo, by the way, from taking a shot feet from the rim, and somehow like and that just gets lost on people. What is taking place there? You know, there's all these snaps of what Victor Wembanyama, and don't get me wrong, he's a special player. He's going to be incredible over the course of his career. But
of a guy who's going to be asking things of his body over the next, 10 to 15 years, hopefully. Yeah.
But like I always at least once a night when he's playing, there's some new screen grab of him doing something spectacular that involves taking up space and stuff like that. And it's like, where are those screen grabs for AD? Like, you know, where's the gushing over the insane things that he's doing defensively that lead to him putting his body and contorting his body that leads to the injuries and leaving the court every so often? It's frustrating for me too, but you also have to be realistic about what the hell is going on there with his body. I went to a wedding over the weekend, danced too much, and my knee isn't working.
I once injured my shoulder playing hacky sack. What's the name of that? Cornhole at your old house.
Really?
Yeah. That was the first time I went over, I think, to your place when you were having like regular non-work friends over. And I went over and I was playing cornhole with you and Jen's friends. And like the next day I just woke up and I was like, oh, my arm does not want to move.
I didn't know that. That's like a
year. Yeah, of course. I wasn't going to tell you. You were just going to make fun of me. just to bring it back, I want to say I agree with what you are saying right now, you know, and the point that you are currently making. What I don't agree with is when, you know, on the next show with Aaron, where you're going to be like, well, Harrison was saying that because of what AD does defensively, we shouldn't care about his offense. And, you know, we shouldn't consider all of these defensive asks in terms of what we're asking him to do and all of this stuff.
I do think that what he does defensively is far too often used as a crutch when he disappears offensively. I do think that is a part of the conversation, the definitive Anthony Davis conversation that you and I are having right now. I do think that goes a little too far sometimes. I think it's important context to keep in mind, but I also think that like for somebody who, again, as we just talked a little bit ago, will finish his career having earned $500 million.
I looked it up while you were talking, and it's $486 million by the end of this contract, and that's just on court earnings. That doesn't even count like Ruffles ads.
Yeah, or his next contract, which will take him above the $500 million mark in just NBA earnings. Somebody who makes that much, who is the Lakers' best or second best player, you know, on a night to night basis, depending on how he or LeBron are playing, right? Like, I do think that he is so important to the Lakers that like the Lakers can't afford him to just stop shooting threes. You know, the Lakers can't afford it when, like last night, I thought he got fouled or whatever, but you know, last night he's going up against Bam and he takes that like fadeaway jumper that doesn't really involve anybody else in the offense. You know, it was great when Thomas Bryant was guarding him. He was like, ooh.
Okay, I was going to say, my only note from the game last night before he got hurt, I have to jump in here, was I thought that last night's post-game show was going to be you really proud of AD's mentality, because the second Thomas Bryant came into that game, he took like four shots in a row and just was like immediately going to the rim and was just like, oh, Bam's out? Like, okay, this will be a little, let me see if I can stack up some points here. And get us some easy buckets while you know, I don't have sort of my slightly shorter, you know, spiritual clone, you know, across from
yeah.
me, you know, and got some easy baskets there because, yeah, he was just like, he saw Thomas and he's like, oh man, I'm back in Lakers training camp. Let's go.
He got like anime eyes, you know? Like,
yeah.
Like, those eyes just like take up half of the character's face. He's just like, oh,
yeah.
What? They're putting yeah. him on an island and he just put him in the basket. And like, hey, I like that. And honestly, this is the thing that like can also sometimes be frustrating is Bryant was out there for five or so minutes or whatever. AD should have gotten the ball on every possession and put Bryant in the basket on every single one of those possessions. And you know, yet, and some of this is of his own doing. I think AD, because he's so talented, will like get bored of scoring in a certain way and go and do something else because he can, you know, like I can't blame a guy who is 7 feet tall and can jump 30 inches on his jumper. From like, and like that feeling of that being unblockable, I can't blame him for taking that shot every so often. But like the thing that makes Jokic special, for example, is that once he finds your scab, once he finds your little weakness, it is just poke, 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 poke. Like I'm an older brother. And my younger brother every so often would have bruises from you know, playing sports as well. And every so often I would see that bruise and I'd poke at it. And usually
people mean this metaphorically when they're talking about this, not actually poking someone in the bruise.
It got him to stop what he was doing, you know, it worked. And like Jokic is like it, when he plays, it really reminds me of like an older brother who's just like, oh, I'm bigger than you. I'm stronger than you. And last night that was the opportunity AD had against Bryant. And he did it for a couple possessions. And then for whatever reason, the Lakers went away from it. And he was just like, why? Well, yeah. What? Why? And I think like even acknowledging everything that he is doing defensively, I think we can still say, especially when you see it in practice, hey, just keep doing that. Can you keep doing that for every single second that Thomas Bryant is guarding you?
So I think that's totally fair. And, you know, I agree, you know, that's sort of, you know, again, sort of circling back to what we were talking about with the mentality stuff and the injury stuff and everything. Like, that's the mentality stuff that I think that people can take issue with and it be totally fair, you know, even with what you're sort of mentioning about, like, you know, we got to temper that on some level because of how much he's asked to do offensive or defensively, but we don't necessarily have to be okay with like, oh, AD has like 6 points this half, you know, like he should be doing, or like 0 points in the case of the second half against the Nuggets. Like, you should be able to get more offensive production than that, even considering what is being asked of you defensively. But that's the mentality stuff that I think is fair. Sometimes the thing that I just could not disagree with more is like the mentality around the injury stuff, because again, maybe somebody can educate me on this, but I'm not sure what he's supposed to do, you know, about that. He clearly wants to play through this stuff. He wants to be available for his team. I don't think that it's the case of like a guy who's just like, yeah, you know, whatever, the checks are clearing. I'm on a 5-year deal now. I don't need to go. I don't need this. I can just sit it out and deal with it when it's less pleasant. Like, all of his injuries are actual injuries. I just don't know. Like, is he supposed to play on like a high ankle sprain, you know, when that happens and that kind of thing? It's just like, it's, you know, yeah, he got hurt. Like, that's the reality of it. His body, the way that it's built and the things that he asks of it, I think at this point it's fair to say that the evidence points to he is going to get hurt a certain amount of times per year.
Yeah. And like the other thing too with his injuries, they're all really fluky. You know, like he landed on Gobert's foot one time. Everybody sprains their ankle doing that, you know. Another time, I think it was Jalen McDaniels, also of the Wolves, ironically.
Jaden's on the Wolves. Jalen, I think, is the other one.
Well, I think it was Jaden then. It was the Wolves, Jaden, and he, you know, kind of fell. No, that's what it was. LeBron had the ball. He pushed off a little bit. Jaden sold it. and in selling it fell into AD's knee.
Oh yes, I remember that. Yeah.
There's nothing AD can do about that, you know? Just like remember Bynum had a lot of these allegations against him too of being soft and not playing through stuff. Kobe one time got fouled, slid under the basket, landed on
it was like his head crashed into his knee, I think, if I remember correctly.
Yeah. And it ended Bynum's season basically that year. The time that Bynum, you know, got hurt that set off the injury problems that he had over the course of the rest of his career, he landed on Lamar Odom's foot and dislocated his kneecap. And that was the end of that, you know. And I think for like AD last night was the first time it was like a non-contact, typical kind of movement. And then his body just seized up, and like spasms by their own nature are freak things. Like it is not what we would normally expect of our body to just say like, nope, you can't move like this anymore.
Yeah.
Here's the air brake, you know? And I don't know. I feel like with AD and the injury conversation, and the worst part about it is where we saw last night where he is going out of his way to prove those haters and doubters wrong by continuing to play. And it, and I'm just glad that, you know, nothing worse came out of it.
Yeah. Me too. I think, on some level, that's all that you can say is that, you know, it could have gone a lot worse and, you know, it didn't. And hopefully this really is just a relatively minor thing and it's a one-off and he's able to continue to play. But, you know, I certainly hope that the medical staff, and I would imagine they are going to be watching him closely this next game. And, you know, there's not going to be like a, you know, if he still looks like he did against the Heat, you know, hey, maybe it's time to sit him for a little bit and figure out, okay, what's really going on.
Yeah. And like Darvin said before the game that like, if it was a game that they needed him more in, Jackson Hayes could have technically given it a go. And I do kind of think that if AD isn't right, then maybe Jackson gives it a go with the ankle thing that he's dealing with. And that way you have some depth behind Christian Wood, but you know, we'll see how everybody handles it.